home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wolf and Luke, Burns and Gambo, Big Red Monday, Crosstalk.
All right, a lot to get through here. I'll just first throw out, we do have a winner in the hottest ticket contest, so you do not have to keep calling now, but you have another chance to win during Burns and Gambo's show. Now, Burns and Gambo, as Mitch just said, are out at Gila River Arena for the Coyotes' home opener against St. Louis tonight. But there's always time to join us for some Big Red Crosstalk. But, guys, because so much stuff is going on, Gambo, specifically with you, I actually want to start with DeAndre Ayton. from either of you, surprised that we have gotten to this point where it sounds like nothing is going to get done before three?
No, not really, to be honest with you. I mean, DA was adamant that he wasn't going to settle for anything less than a maximum contract with escalators that could boost the deal in case he's first, second, third team All-NBA. The Suns seemed pretty adamant that they were going to continue talks, but that they were going to offer, you know, a fair deal, but not a max deal. And if he wanted to get a max deal, he was going to have to wait. So the Mikal Bridges deal, I kind of felt good that it was going to be in the $20 to $22 million range, and I think that's where it came in, right above 22. But with DeAndre Ayton, he doesn't want to settle for anything less than the max.
Guys, how does that impact DeAndre Ayton in the contracts with the contract talks with DeAndre Ayton going forward next year?
Well, I mean, that becomes the grand experiment, doesn't it? Right? I mean, that becomes the ultimate litmus test. How does he respond to this? How does he react to not getting what he wants? Because if he goes the wrong way, if he goes the direction he's not supposed to, he's basically proving the Suns' point in the fact that they didn't give him the max contract by playing his butt off, by playing, you know, the way he played during the postseason, but extending that over an 82-game season. By doing that, the hope would then be, I would think, that before he ever hits restricted free agency, he gets that max contract that he covets. We're in this position of once again, and it kind of feels like we've been in nothing but this position ever since DeAndre Ayton walked the door, of, okay, what is he going to do? You know, what is he going to be? How is he going to react? How's he gonna handle all this? I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to play hard. I think he's going to come out and be pissed about it, but I can't sit here and say I know for sure that he's not going to crawl back into his shell a little bit and show some of the old
David
flashes
Charles,
of DA that we're used to seeing.
Do you think the Suns think that's what he's going to do? Come out and say, oh, yeah, I'll show you.
I think that they are probably withholding funds from him until they see that out of him on a much longer basis. So to answer your question, yeah, I think the Phoenix Suns might think, you know what, we need to see more. What's the best way to get more out of him? Let's hold it from him. I don't like the strategy. I'd like to get this all buttoned up and taken care of because I think this team is a possible NBA finalist, but I can understand from their perspective why 20 games might not be enough for them to see that he's a max player.
Yeah, I think it in a vacuum it is understandable. Okay, maybe he's not a max player just based on the playoffs, but I just keep coming back to the worry that this guy may look around and say, okay, I bought into everything you said and I sacrificed my own numbers. Even if that's not 100% true, he may feel that way. And then I don't know what version of this guy you're getting for the rest of the season.
But there's no leverage outside of playing well and trying to earn that max contract. I mean, what do you want to play poorly? I mean, there's no leverage for DeAndre. Even next year, as a restricted free agent, the Suns could pay him more money than anybody else, and they could give him more years than anybody else. You want to wait 2 years till you're a free agent and not restricted? Guess what? Well, the Suns could still pay you more money and more years than anybody else. So, you know, the only way that DeAndre leaves the Phoenix Suns, if he's so unhappy that he's willing to take less money, that's because that's what it would take. You know, very likely, you know, if the Suns are then willing to pay you and you don't, and you're not happy with them, you could say, I'm not going to play for you and I'll take less money to play somewhere else. That's the only thing that could happen. And I don't expect that to happen.
And the thing that's most bothersome about this to me, guys, is just how, what a dangerous game it is to be playing with your 23-year-old franchise center coming off of an amazing year in which he went to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1993, had a team that was worthy of that kind of attention for the first time really truly in 10 years. You have these visions of all of it just becoming undone right before your eyes. And while I don't think that's going to happen, I don't know for sure that that's not going to happen because of this. And that's just an awfully risky game to be playing with a team that just delivered to you one of the most pleasant surprises of maybe the last 10 years of Arizona sports. It makes me very uncomfortable, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, for me, guys, I can tell you right now, it makes me think, how could you possibly drive a wedge between the chemistry that exists inside that locker room? How could you possibly do that? Unless you didn't think it was really going to shred the chemistry inside that locker room. Do they know something maybe about DeAndre Ayton? Do they know something about the players that are inside that locker room that we don't?
It's possible. I'm looking at Gambo right now to see what he thinks about. Is it possible that, I mean, what was the story that came out that Monty Williams texted DeAndre Ayton during vacation? Hey, I expect you to go up here in the best shape of your life. You know, I expect you to be here. I want to see it. Is that reflective of still further doubt about his ability and willingness to do it all the time, every single night? I know Gambo's got a theory about players in the NBA, and out of 82 games, like the superstars will bring it to you every, like 70 out of 82 games, right? Not 82 out of 82. Everybody takes a night off every now and then. How many nights does DeAndre Ayton bring it this year? It's a great question.
All right, before I let you guys go, I mean, the Cardinals are 6-0. I feel like we should at least talk about that. Your reaction to what they were able to do going on the road for the fourth time this season, and obviously for the first time this season, doing it with like without half their coaching staff.
Look, they continue to amaze me. I mean, they really do. I mean, I picked the Browns to win, but I did say if Nick Chubb doesn't play, then I would take the Cardinals if Chubb doesn't play. I had one guy on Twitter, don't you apologize to the Red Sea for picking the Browns. I'm like, what do you want me to pick the Cardinals in all 17 games? Like, are you insane? Like, don't jump on the bandwagon now. Like, I have him in the playoffs. I actually picked the Cardinals to go to the playoffs this year. But I will say, they are a lot better team than I even thought when I picked them to go to the playoffs before the season started.
Yeah, it's how can you not be impressed by what they did with how shorthanded they were? Kyler Murray, the leadership that he showed, the coaching staff adapting like that on the fly as quickly as they did, the defense just absolutely taking it to Cleveland. Really the only difference that really made it an absolute dominant performance was that Hail Mary they gave up at the end. My number one takeaway, six games in, four of them on the road, and in all four, they've been blowouts. Absolute, no doubters, done by the third quarter. See ya, thank you for playing blowouts. And it's not against some of the worst teams in the NFL. Two of the most talked about teams in the NFL in the Rams and the Browns, and then the Titans, who might be there when it's all said and done, too. Extremely impressive what they've been able to do so far.
Yeah, if you were ever going to pick against the Cardinals and you were going to say they're not going undefeated, yesterday made sense to do it. That was one of the games to say, okay, they're missing all of these pieces, and Cleveland should be more desperate than they are. Guys, thanks a lot. We'll be tuning in at 2.
Thank you, guys.
All right, boys. See ya.
Thanks a lot. That's Burns and Gambo. You can hear them from 2 to 6, of course, today and every day. But today they're out there at Gila River Arena for the Coyotes' home opener against the St. Louis Blues. Get lower-level tickets for just $19.87 to see ASU football host Washington State Saturday, October 30th. Just text DEVILS to 620-620, and we'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's DEVILS to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports Sun Devil Special. Coming up, another win, another week shutting down the opposing team's rushing attack. We'll react to what the Cardinals' defense is doing. That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Wolf and Luke.
Welcome back to the show. You know, Wolf, it was supposed to be the weakness of the Cardinals this season, was supposed to really be the run defense. And, you know, overall, statistically for the year, it's not like it's amazing.
Right.
But against the two teams that have had the most dangerous rushing attack, the two teams that are still the top two teams in the NFL in terms of running, the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns, the Cardinals' rush defense has stepped up in a big way both times.
Yeah, no, they really have. There is no way you can cut it any other way. The defense shined for the most part all game, except for one play. That Hail Mayfield, as I was calling it, to end the first half, that really just sucked buttermilk. It really did.
It did.
It was the only series, I think, of the entire game that truly bummed me out. Otherwise, Man, Vance Joseph and his defense continued to shut down offenses, man. It is the biggest surprise of the season, the Arizona Cardinals and how well the Arizona Cardinals are playing on defense. If I were to tell you that they were going to be the number two scoring defense in the National Football League, giving up 18.2 points per game in week six, you would not have believed me.
It really does feel like that last series before halftime every week is eventful, isn't it? I mean, every single week, whether it's Rondale Moore making a nice play to pick up yards and set up Matt Prater for a 62-yard field goal, or it is a field goal being missed and returned 109 yards against the Cardinals, or it's the Cardinals taking a sack and getting out of range, or it's a Hail Mary by Baker Mayfield to Donovan Peoples-Jones yesterday. And yet, I think it does say something that you can have two of the most just brutal plays in the NFL this season go against you, a Hail Mary and a 109-yard field goal return, and you won both games.
And you won both games, no doubt. Yeah, they came in and their strategy was sound. They forced Baker Mayfield to beat them. And although he wasn't bad, Baker Mayfield, he certainly, in my opinion, wasn't up to the challenge yesterday either. And, you know, they scored on one drive, of course, the Browns did, and then one play, they threw it up at the end of that first half, and that really was deflating. I'm not going to lie. It was deflating right there because the Arizona Cardinals had short fields three times in a row near the end of that first half. Three times in a row and only got 9 points out of it. Now, Matt Prater made all three of those field goals, which was fantastic, but now all of a sudden it was 23-14 going in at the half. It was a game when the Arizona Cardinals had just dominated the first half of that game. So it felt like, oh boy, you know, here comes the momentum for the Cleveland Browns coming out in that second half. And guess what? It never materialized.
Yeah, that was the feeling. You're right. It was like the Cardinals are still in control, but we've all seen games, whether it's football or any other sport, where it's like, okay, you're dominating and the game's still close.
Yes.
So that's when things can get weird in the second half. Instead, the Cardinals didn't give up another point, which is a pretty good way to shut that down. I got to say, too, we had a caller earlier say he was basically just going to take the day off and watch Cardinals highlights on TV, but he wasn't seeing any.
Yeah.
We got two of the TVs on here in the studio, and I have seen very little Cardinals highlights in the 3.5 hours we've done the show. I saw that DeAndre Hopkins catch that we're probably not talking about enough, where he just completely slammed the brakes on and then went sideways and had two Cleveland defenders run into each other and fall over.
Yeah.
I saw that play once, but our caller was right. I haven't really seen a lot of Cardinals highlights today, and they are 6-0.
And, of course, as you say that, here they come. They're on.
Yeah, they'll just be everywhere.
No doubt, the NFL Network, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, you know what? Hey, listen, they're good. That's all I care about. I don't care how much the nation loves the Arizona Cardinals. I really don't. How much national love they're getting. They will get it. Just go out and continue to focus on what it is you're doing. Isn't that right, Marcus Golden? Just focus on what it is that you're doing. Bring your best game in and game out individually, and then hope the guy next to you does it and the guy next to him. And suddenly, collectively, you just myopically focused on doing your job as hard as you possibly can. Block out all the noise around you right now. And I really do believe that is the mentality that is taking over this locker room, this prove it mentality. And it is one of the best trends you could possibly have going for this team, that they would adopt this as their rallying cry.
The Browns played the game without Nick Chubb. But they did have Kareem Hunt. Now, Kareem Hunt, as it turns out, because he got hurt late in the game, they're saying today he's going to miss several weeks. But he was in there for the majority of the game yesterday, and Jordan Hicks talked about stopping the run, and specifically Hunt.
No, Kareem is extremely talented. You watch the film on him, and he's breaking tackles, and he's physical. He can catch the ball. Very versatile. So, you know, the ability to stop the run, we knew it was going to be. We had to stop the run first, and we put a premium on that.
They knew what was coming.
That's the way you beat the Cleveland Browns, Luke. That's how you beat them. You beat them when you shut them down at the line of scrimmage. This this entire offense, we were talking about it, the entire offense was built around the ability to run the ball. And you've got Nick Chubb. When Nick Chubb was ruled out, I said, you know what, that's like taking Kyler Murray out of the Arizona Cardinals offense. Mm. That's how important Nick Chubb is to that offense. And then when both their tackles were unable to play as well, that really hurt the Cleveland Browns. Now, once again, is that why they got whipped 37-14? No, that is not why they got whipped 37-14. But it certainly didn't help their cause because, again, the Browns, very good at running the ball. But when the Arizona Cardinals were able to mitigate that and control that, and their offense was scoring points, it put so much pressure on Baker Mayfield and the Browns to try to match that scoring. They couldn't do it. It was unsustainable.
Yeah, it's not the first time this season either we've gone into a game thinking, okay, this is what the Cardinals have to do. And it's usually, okay, well, that's easier said than done. They've just gone out and done it. I mean, how many times did we say last week, if you don't want Cleveland to run on you, get up on them early? And they were up 20-0 in the second quarter.
Yes. That was the game plan going in a well-devised game plan overall. Man, there were just so many guys that made plays. But once again, the J.J. Watt situation and the fact that J.J. Watt is getting better, and he's getting better with every game, and it wasn't like he was bad to start the season, but we're starting to see all of this goodness of J.J. Watt come together. And it's not only what he's doing on the field with the numbers, Luke, it's also what he's doing off the field as a leader. It's what I see him doing to guys that are getting on the plane and talking to guys that are getting on the plane and trying to encourage them. It's truly incredible to see this guy and the impact he's having on this team.
Well, yeah, and that's the sort of stuff that's not going to go away. I mean, that is J.J. Watt. You know, that's part of the price. When you're paying for J.J. Watt, you're paying for that.
Yes.
And so even if he has a bad game at some point, that leadership's not going to go away. And we talked about this, you know, the last couple of weeks. He's also, yeah, he's got a great reputation for everything he's done for the Houston Texans over the year. But now he can point to games with the Cardinals and be like, hey, yeah, remember when I was completely dominant against Cleveland and I was disruptive against the 49ers? And you're right. I mean, J.J. Watt is a story that's building as this season goes.
You know what I love about that, too, just to finish it up, Luke, is the fact he'll never tell you that. Mm-hmm. Remember when I was doing, you know. He's never going to tell you that.
No.
He's just going to go about his business.
He is going to tell you they can't block him, but that ended up actually being true. So there you go.
On the sideline, that's allowed.
That's allowed.
That is so allowed.
Text us your thoughts on J.J. Watt and the Cardinals defense to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, we're a lot of standout performances in Cleveland, so which one stood out the most? I'll tell you next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Wolf and Luke.
Well, a resounding win yesterday over the Cleveland Browns for the Arizona Cardinals. That was the weird game of the season, Wolf. That was the game that was the 17th game that they added when they extended the schedule. It was the team that doesn't really fit the formula of who you're supposed to play based on where you finished and what division you're in. That was the extra game yesterday. They didn't have Cliff Kingsbury. They didn't have the quarterback's coach. They didn't have a lot of pieces, and they still won anyway going away.
Really, really incredible right now looking at this team. The Arizona Cardinals are the best football team in the football universe, no doubt about it. To be 6-0 right now and to be destroying teams in their stadiums the way that they have, the Titans, of course, the Rams, the Browns. It has truly been a symphony of destruction for the Arizona Cardinals, and all three of those teams were favored to win those games, and yet the Arizona Cardinals hammered them.
They did, and I, you know, I look around the league now, and I'm, you know, Buffalo has been impressive because they're so good offensively and they're so good defensively. But when you start to look at the other teams, other than the Cardinals and the Bills, it feels like, you know, Tampa's great offensively. I don't know about their defense. You know, some of these other teams, same with, I mean, Dallas now, Dak is hurt, so we'd have to see how that plays out. You know, it feels like some of the other really good teams are just really good on one side of the ball, but maybe not the other. And that's sort of been the revelation for the Cardinals this season, is that they're so good defensively, too.
Yeah, that's what's incredible right there. I mean, the Cardinals, they're number four in scoring offense in the league. Number four at 32.3 points per game. And their scoring defense, number two. Would you ever think coming into this season, the Arizona Cardinals, after 6 weeks of the season, the Arizona Cardinals were going to have a better scoring defense than their scoring offense? Man, I got to tell you right now, that would have blown my mind, and it is blowing my mind. They are tied at 18.2 for the number two scoring defense in the league.
It just goes back to that age-old conversation of how many different ways can you win a game. And some teams, you look around this league and you're like, okay, they can win games, but they got to win with defense. Or there's other teams like the Chiefs. They can win, but they probably got to win 40-38. The Cardinals, and they're not the only team. Buffalo's certainly there, and then there's probably a couple other teams too, but the Cardinals are one of the few teams where it's like, yeah, they can put 40 on you, or they can just hold you to 10. And that gives you a lot of margin for error. Now, one guy we haven't talked about a ton, I know you have your list of dudes from the game yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins has got to be right at the top of that list. The two touchdowns, how did he get so open on the second one, by the way? Who looks at DeAndre Hopkins like, we don't need to cover him?
Yeah, it was really, really interesting right there because they were playing what appeared to be a cover two look. And they had the safety who was playing that deep half come down. He jumped a crossing route, and I think it was A.J. Green on the cross. He jumped the crossing route, and D-Hop just slipped right behind him into the back of the end zone. And Kyler Murray, give him credit, actually read that and saw it and threw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins for an easy touchdown. And I'm with you on that. How that happened, I have no idea, but I'm glad that it did. And again, all three phases, the Arizona Cardinals played so well. Their special teams played well, with Matt Prater, of course, making those three field goals in a windstorm inside of First Energy Stadium. Their offense, Kyler Murray throwing the ball so well, and how balanced they were offensively. And I thought that was really, really important going into this game, that they were going to be balanced and give Kyler that kind of physical, emotional, and schematic protection. And they did that. They stayed very balanced offensively and defensively. They just shut down the Browns the way they needed to. This has been the most complete victory I think that the Arizona Cardinals have played so far.
You know, you mentioned A.J. Green, too. He doesn't get talked about nearly as much, but again, that balance is still there at the top of the receiving game. Here we are now through 6 weeks. Hopkins has 26 catches for 367 yards. Christian Kirk has 26 catches for 358 yards. A.J. Green has 21 for 340.
Yes.
And even Rondale Moore, 24 for 286. They've all gotten in the end zone at least once. Green and Kirk have three. Hopkins has six.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm fine with Rondale Moore bringing up the rear. Seriously, I'm absolutely fine with that.
And he's got carries than everybody else.
Exactly right. Man, I love the way they're doing this, the way they're working Rondale Moore into the equation here, not just as a wide receiver, but as a running back. This is a guy that is going to only expand in this role. When they put him in the queue, they stick his feet at 6 yards behind the quarterback. They'll put him in the gun, of course, next to him. He's doing running back things, and that's not going to go away anytime soon. They're going to continue to feed this guy because I think he's going to be a true tweener before it's all said and done.
If you count his rushing yards, his 60 rushing yards on 9 carries, and just add it as total yards, he's right in there at 348, right in that 340 to 367 range where all four Cardinals receivers are. I mean, the balance is unbelievable. And A.J. Green, again, comes up with a big play yesterday on that drive to really kind of put things away. He's a mismatch nightmare for a lot of these teams, especially when they have to focus on DeAndre Hopkins. That's the second week in a row, by the way, Wolf, that we've seen Hopkins just be completely wide open. They didn't connect on the touchdown the first time last week, but it's the second week in a row where Hopkins has just been open in the end zone with nobody near him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And why that is happening is because of all the other weapons the Arizona Cardinals have. It was something you and I were talking about. Hey, listen, DeAndre Hopkins realizes there's one way out, man. There is one way out of this place, and that is definitely by throwing the ball to everybody else. And then DeAndre Hopkins was going to get the opportunity as a quarterback, that being Kyler Murray, worked his way back to DeAndre Hopkins at some point in time. You had to prove to a defensive coordinator that you were willing to move away from D-Hop. You want to take DeAndre Hopkins out of the equation? That's fine. You want to play in and out on him? That's fine. You want to play low and high on him? You want to bracket him? Whatever you want? That's fine, because we've got all these other weapons around here that we're more than happy to throw the ball to that can and will beat you. And we saw them do that. And now all of a sudden, it's going to start coming back. The pendulum is going to swing back to DeAndre Hopkins.
The other guy, too, Matt Prater, who has been pretty automatic. Yes, he has three missed field goals. One of them was 68 yards, and the other one was 50-plus, and the one beyond that was in the high 40s. So, I mean, he hits his kicks. He's hit three beyond 50 yards already this season. Win tickets to Phoenix Suns home opener. Just text TICKET 620-620 and listen for your name in the 4 o'clock hour today. It's the return of the hottest tickets in town, powered by FanDuel. Coming up next, Cardinals defensive coordinator Vance Joseph will join us. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Cardinals. Everything Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. In the Red Zone with Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury. Presented by Earnhardt Hyundai and Ford Dealers. No bowl since 1951.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. We do this every week. No Cliff this week, though. Vance Joseph stepping in. I mean, Vance Joseph has been doing a pretty good job stepping in over the weekend, got the Cardinals their sixth win. Coach, first of all, just thank you for the time, and how are you feeling after that win yesterday?
I'm feeling fine, guys. Thanks for having me. It was obviously a good win for our team, you know, after, you know, a week of adversity with injuries and a bunch of positive COVID tests. You know, everyone came together, you know, as a team, as a group, you know, to win one football game, and that's definitely gratifying.
Vance, can you identify for us exactly what your responsibilities were? Because it was just a weird situation, wasn't it, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first of all, to coach the defense, you know, that's my first responsibility. Right. Secondly, to obviously help Coach Rogers, you know, with the game management stuff and to help the offense, you know, with their operation. You know, so it wasn't a huge deal. You know, I spoke to the team before the game, and I spoke to the team after the game and on Saturday morning. So that part of my role kind of changed. But outside of that, it was just football, and it was really a team effort, guys. You know, and the entire staff stepped in to help out. You know, in every area. You know, defensively, nothing changed there. Obviously, with ST. With Coach Rogers being there, nothing changed there. And offensively, to have Coach Whipple and Coach Cougs call the plays, that was a little different. But I thought Coach Cliff did a great job of having a call sheet set up, you know, to where those guys can call it the same way he would call a game. And that's very aggressive to score points. You know, so nothing changed on game day. It was really seamless, and it felt like Cliff was there calling plays.
Talking to Vance Joseph, Vance, you've been a head coach in this league before. I mean, did that make the transition that much easier for you?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. You know, I've been there before, obviously. And again, I mean, it was more about the group effort than one guy. You know, and obviously being a head coach is a, you know, huge role. But on game day, you know, it's about players. It's about the play callers, and you know, that's what it comes down to. You know, most of our work is done during the week. You know, and the beauty of Coach not being positive until Friday was most of the work was done. You know, the entire game plan was in. It was vetted. We practiced all week, and the guys were ready to play. You know, so Saturday morning, all he missed was really a quick walkthrough Saturday morning and a quick walkthrough Saturday night. You know, so most of the stuff, you know, most of the work for the week was already done. And, you know, so, you know, for the players, it was very normal as far as, you know, how the game plan went. You know, just Coach wasn't there calling it, but as far as the game plan, it was his game plan. He put it in the works, and he had the sheet organized, you know, where the guys can call it very easily.
You know, Vance, you guys played so well in all three phases, offensively, defensively, and in transition. I have to ask you, even though I'm violating the code of the locker room,
right.
What did you say to these guys before the game?
Well, not much. You know, we just talked about, you know, how we play games, and that's really fast, and that's physical and smart, you know, and that's what Cliff has stressed to our team, you know, the last couple months. You know, we're and always going to play fast and aggressive. You know, we're a physical team and we're a smart team. You know, that's what wins games on Sundays. You know, it was a simple, quick message. You know, but our leadership on this football team is outstanding, guys. You know, so it doesn't take much for a coach to motivate this team. You know, and obviously player-led teams are the best teams. You know, I mean, you don't want too many teams that are all coach-led. J.J. Watt and Buda Baker on my side of the ball and Hump and those guys on the offensive side of the ball with Hopkins and those guys and A.J. Green. I mean, it's a player-led team, you know, so it wasn't going to be a letdown, you know, and those guys understand how important every Sunday is. And obviously with coach not being there, it was a little bit different. But, again, man, players play and coaches coach, and Sundays is for players, and the guys play very well.
You know, along those lines, you mentioned J.J. Watt. What is it doing for you as a coach to have him on that defense? And how good was it to see him finally get credited with his first sack, even though he's been disruptive for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been outstanding for us as a leader. You know, as guys watch him work every day, I mean, you can't help but to follow and mimic that. I mean, that's what a Hall of Fame player looks like. I mean, every day, man, he's on a grind. You know, and that's contagious, you know, and obviously Buda Baker's the same way as a young player. So it's really easy to follow JJ, man, because every day he's all in, you know, from the meeting room to the weight room to the practice field, you know. So it's good having guys like that on both sides of the ball to kind of lead our young players into victory every week. And, you know, obviously in the offseason, Michael and Steve and Cliff made a, you know, conscious effort to go find, you know, good veteran leadership, you know, for our football team. That's one thing that we thought we were missing a year before. And obviously it's in place now, man, and it's paying dividends every week.
That Hail Mary at the half, was there yelling at the half? Was there, were you yelling at all?
Oh, my God, that was awful. It's embarrassing, and it's my fault. You know, I've got to coach that better. You know, obviously he was in minus like 42, whatever he was, and I had no idea it was going to be a Hail Mary. So I put us in a desperado four call, which is kind of a last, you know, kind of a backed up quarters defense with four across, and you have your second line guys about 25 yards deep. You know, but what happened? It went from a last play throwback to a victory, you know, a Hail Mary. So my second line guys should have converted to a victory, and they did not. You know, so at the end of the down, it was three Browns and basically two Cardinals, and Buda got knocked down, so it was 3-1. You know, so it was a poor coaching job. We got to fix that, you know, before it gets to be a real problem. But that was totally my fault for making that call and not having the other call, you know, basically vetted and detailed out, you know, so guys can convert from desperado to Hail Mary. So that's totally on me. So
well,
embarrassing.
But beyond that, I mean, the best way to respond is to not give up any points in the second half, which is what your defense did.
Absolutely, man. I think all year, you know, our staff and our players, you know, we get to halftime and we fix things. You know, and I think every game this year, you know, in the second half, you know, we played better in the first half. And that's a good sign of a good defense and a good sign of a good staff. You know, I mean, we've had a couple games where it's been a second half shutouts. You know, that's good football. You know, in this league, you have to adjust. Obviously, you know, everyone's game plan. And so it's going to be certain plays in the first half that you hadn't seen or vetted, you know, during the week, you know, unscouted looks. But once we get to halftime with this staff and these players, man, we usually fix it and play our best ball in the second half, which is always good.
Cool. You know, Vance, I have to tell you, just looking at you in the role yesterday, of course, you've done this before. Would you like to do it again?
Absolutely. You know, but right now, I mean, it's week 7, you know, and my entire focus, guys, is on the Houston Texans this week, you know. And the more we win, obviously, the harder it gets, you know. So, you know, right now my focus is strictly on winning. And, you know, those opportunities come from winning. You know, so if we don't win enough games, those things won't come. You know, so I understand that if I don't focus on that part, the second part won't happen. So, you know, absolutely, I want that chance again. But right now my focus is on the Houston Texans and helping this team win its 7th game.
Well, Vance Joseph, we appreciate you stepping in. Great stuff. Congratulations on the win. Good luck against Houston, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
See you soon.
Thanks,
all right, bye-bye.
That's Vance Joseph stepping in.
You've been listening to In the
And there we go. So Vance Joseph is officially
just stop talking.
All right. You know what I'm going to, Wolf? The show's over. So I'm going to thank Aaron Maloney, Jesse Morrison behind the glass. I'm going to thank Robert Alford and Vance Joseph for joining us today. For Wolf, I'm Luke. Burns and Gambo is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to In the Red Zone with Arizona Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury. Presented by Earnhardt Hyundai and Ford Dealers. No bowl since 1951. Your home for everything Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.